This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulil kareem. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله welcome my dear brothers, sisters, elders to tonight's talk which will be delivered by brother Abu Taymiyyah. Some of you may already know him through various social media platforms. He does live talks on YouTube. He's well known for his dawah work across the country. And mashallah, currently he's studying at Medina Institute. May Allah preserve him to carry out his duties for the deen. Ameen. Tonight's talk is about the fear of the Salaf al-Salih after Ramadan. This is an important topic which actually does affect each one of us on a daily basis, especially after a week just after Ramadan. You can see the iman levels dropping, the zikr of Allah dropping, and various other deeds that we were doing in Ramadan dropping as well. So the brother will obviously give us a few tips and some advice on how to alleviate some of those issues, inshallah ta'ala. So without any further ado, I'll hand over, inshallah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen. نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. The light. My dear respective brothers and sisters, first and foremost, I just want to thank the organization, the masjid, for organizing this lecture. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من لا يشكر الناس لا يشكر الله. Whoever doesn't thank the people won't be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in another hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ أَتَى إِلَيْكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدُوا فَدْعُوا لَهُ. Whoever does you a favor, then try to recompensate that individual. And whoever doesn't have the ability to do so, then let this person make a dua. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to elevate the brothers who are trying their utmost best in trying to organize these lectures, these programs for the community so that they benefit. My dear respective brothers and sisters, a question that I want you to think about is, what if we come on Yawm Al-Qiyamah and in the Ramadan of 2015 or the fasting of 2016 or the night prayers that we prayed in the year 2017 or any other Ramadan that we may have been involved in. But then when the scrolls are put out, we come to realize that all the hard work has gone down the drain. Because that could happen, my brothers and sisters. And you'll come to see why. You know, having stood up in the last 10 days of Ramadan, having participated in Laylatul Qadr, it could easily delude that person, deceive him, and make him think that he's sorted for the rest of the year. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. The night of Al-Qadr is better than 1,000 months. You always get that whisper from the shaytan as soon as the sun sets on the last night of Ramadan, saying to you, akhi, it's just for one night. And then that one night turns into a couple of days. That couple of days turns into weeks, months, where an individual now has really, really dropped from the standards that he had in the month of Ramadan. You know, my brothers and sisters, Ali ibn Abi Talib, the great Khalifa of the Muslims, the fourth one after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to call out on the last night of Ramadan, and he would say, Ya layta shi'ri, man hadha al-maqbool fanuhannih. وَمَنْ هَذَا الْمَحْرُومِ فَنُعَزِّيهِ. Who is this individual whose Ramadan was accepted, so we can go and congratulate him? وَمَنْ هَذَا الْمَحْرُومِ. And who is this person who has been deprived? So we can do something called a ta'ziyah, which is to pay your condolences to that person. When somebody has lost his relatives, what we tend to do is we go to that person's house, right? We go and visit him. He's lost a mother, he's lost a father, he's lost a relative. And we pay our condolences to him. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wanted to pay his condolences to the person who has been deprived of all that goodness in the month of Ramadan that a person has been involved in. It's not easy to be fasting in this blazing heat for 17, 18 hours a day. People have worked the following day and still they went out their way to go and stand in the night. We were able to do it, my brothers and sisters. So one to tell himself that after the month of Ramadan he can't engage in these ibadat, we're only lying to ourselves. My brothers and sisters, you have the type of person who in the last 10 days of Ramadan was planning the filth and the evil that he doesn't eat, and all the other fawahish that he wanted to indulge in after the month of Ramadan is finished. And you have the person, the other type, who used Ramadan as a stepping stone. And his iman might drop after the month of Ramadan, but then he tries to get back up again. This person is the better of the two, because the individual, the first one, he knows what he's doing is wrong, and still he just tries to pass out the last few days of Ramadan, while in these 10 days he's planning. فَهَذَا أَخْسَرُ الْخَاسِرِينَ. This one is the one who is the one who loses out the most. My brothers and sisters, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he passed away, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went on the minbar. Notice this minbar here? A minbar like that. He went on top and he said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat." Whoever used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then indeed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And whoever used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for indeed Allah azza wa jalla still lives. And he never ever passes away. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَذُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. As Allah azza wa jalla tells us, that which you have is going to perish, and that which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always remains. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. The face of your Lord, he remains. So I say, my brothers and sisters, whoever used to worship Ramadan, Ramadan has gone. Ramadan has finished. The Lord of the other 11 months is still living. We stayed away from certain acts in the month of Ramadan. Question we should be asking ourselves, was it because this was solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, me knowing that it was wrong? Or was it simply because it was just Ramadan? It's a very, very daqiq, minute thing that we should really, really think about. And I'm sure we've left off so many things in the month of Ramadan, right? Was it that we left it off because it was wrong, or was it because it was just Ramadan? Because I'm sure if we left it off because it was wrong, we would leave it off after the month of Ramadan as well. So inshallah ta'ala, I want to mention some of the signs of how we know maybe that our Ramadan has been accepted or our Ramadan has been rejected. Because it's been 6-7 days since Ramadan finished, and a numerous amount of things have taken place in these 6-7 days. Look at the Salaf, my brothers and sisters. And this is point number one. For a whole 6 months, they would be begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their siyam, their qiyam, and their dua. For a whole 6 months. Allahumma taqabbal minna Ramadan. Oh Allah, accept from us the Ramadan for a whole 6 months. When I say Salaf, I mean the three golden generations. And then for the next 6 months, he's asking Allah Azza wa Jal, Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, help us reach the next Ramadan. Because they knew of all the khair and the goodness, and that it's a month of change. And it's then when a person can really change habits. So from the signs of an accepted action, my brother, says that a person, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from him. Abi Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to say that if he knew that one sajda, one prostration was accepted, one prostration was accepted from him, he would have preferred to pass away and leave this dunya, depart it. Why? Because he knows that one has been accepted. Because until then, we don't know nothing. That's how scared they were. But I'm going to come onto a lot of the situations of the people of the past, of how they weren't people who became deluded with their actions. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, he mentions, alamatu qabooli al-amali ihtiqaru. From the signs of an accepted action is that he belittles that which he was given the success to do. The salah that you prayed, the qiyam, the siyam, or the sadaqah that you paid in the month of Ramadan. He doesn't see it to be something big that he's accomplished, but rather he looks down at it. وَاسْتِقْلَالُهُ وَسِغَرُهُ. Like I mentioned, he looks down at it في قلبك. He sees it to be very small in his heart. حَتَّى إِنَّ الْعَارِفِ. And this is now the third point, my brothers and sisters. إِنَّ الْعَارِفَ, the smart and the intelligent one. لَيَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ عَقِبَ طَاعَتِهِ. He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness after he is finished with doing an act of obedience. And now I'm going to bring in a couple of examples. وَقَدْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ إِذَا سَلَّمَ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ إِسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهَ ثَلَاثًا. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. My brother and sister, I don't think the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم needs an introduction. That he was an individual who was walking on the face of this earth, his past and his future sins, they were forgiven. إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمْ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخْرَ. His past and his future sins were forgiven. He didn't have any sins. But still, he would constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And here the Shaykh, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, is saying to us, the messenger after the salah, what do we normally do, as he came in the hadith Thawban? كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا انصرف من صلاتي استغفر الله ثلاثة. He will say, استغفر الله, استغفر الله, استغفر الله. You just done an ibadah, but then he follows you up with another ibadah. And these are from the signs of an accepted action. You're done with good action, you follow this up with another great action. وَأَمَرَ عِبَادَهُ بِالْاِسْتِغْفَارِ عَقِيبَ الْحَجِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commanded the servant to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for forgiveness after Hajj. Who can tell me of the hadith that when an individual goes out and he performs Hajj, in what situation does he come back? As a newborn baby. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, من حج ولم يرفث ولم يفسخ رجع كيوم ولدته أمه. Whoever performs Hajj and he doesn't fall into obscenity and also into transgression, he comes back like a newly born baby. Newly born baby. Clean slate. No sins. But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to what? Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for forgiveness. Following up one ta'a with another ta'a. Allah tells in the Quran, فَإِذَا فَضْتُ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ وَذْكُرُوا كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا مِنَ الظَّالِينَ ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ. After you're done with your Hajj, ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for forgiveness. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what? For forgiveness. And then he goes on to say, وَمَدَحَهُمْ عَلَى الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ عَقِيبَ قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised those who do istighfar after Qiyamul Layl. My brothers and sisters, billahi alayk. Is it easy to wake up for the night prayer? In the middle of the night, after a man has gone to his firash, to his bed, he's with his wife, he spent some time with her, He's got work the next day, and then he still manages to wake up in the last third of the night. Is that something that is easy? It's not something that's easy. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised those who, when they're done with this great ibadah, كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحارهم يستغفرون. Only a small part of the night they used to sleep. And then on the sides, you would find them in the last part of the night, at the time of Sahar. He said, Astaghfirullah, 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 in the middle of the night. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. He could easily say to himself, I've just committed such a great act, accomplished a mountain of good deeds. But then he asked Allah azza wa jalla for forgiveness. وشرع النبي صلى الله عقيب الطهور عقيب الطهور التوبة والاستغفار. After the wudu, what do you say? Who can tell me? I've just finished performing ablution. What did the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم teach us to read? أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. It came in the hadith where the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ما منكم من أحد يتوضأ فيسبق الوضوء ثم يقول أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة. He reads that dua, the doors of Jannah are swung open for him. أخرجه مسلم وزاد الترمذي اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المطهرين. He said, Oh Allah, make me from those who are tawabin. Who's a tawabin? Somebody who always goes back to Allah Azza wa Jal. There's a difference between ta'ib and tawabin. Taib is somebody who might repent. Tawabin is somebody who what? Constantly goes back. Sighatul Mubalagh is on the scale of fa'al. Inna Allah yuhibbu tawabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. So he's just now performed ablution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him, to make him from those who are pure. That shows us one action after the other. And then he concludes and he says, وَمَنْ شَهِدَ وَاجِبَ رَبِّهِ. Whoever now comes to see the wajib, the obligation of his Lord upon him, وَمِقْدَارَ عَمَلِهِ, and also the weight of his action, وَعَيْبَ نَفْسِهِ, and also the shortcomings that he has, لَمْ يَجِدْ بُدًّا مِنْ إِسْتِغْفَارِ رَبِّهِ مِنْ. He always sees it as a must to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg him for forgiveness. وَاحْتِقَارِهِ إِيَّهِ. While at the same time you find him, he belittles himself. He sees that there is room for improvement. Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he has some lines of poetry in his kitab, Sayru ila Allahi wa dar al-akhirah. Those who are treading the path to get to Allah Azza wa Jal and the hereafter. He says, فعل الفرائض والنوافل دأبهم مع رؤية التخسير والنقصان. Doing the acts of obligations and also that which is voluntary is their way. The people of the righteous, those who are trying to tread the path to get to Allah Azza wa Jal. While at the same time he sees himself to have fallen short and that there is room for improvement. We're talking about the person who does good deeds, right? But still, he sees himself to be somebody who needs to improve even more and do more great deeds. How about the person who knows he's a muqassir? Who fi'lan, the reality of the matter is, he is falling short. He's slacking on his salah, he's slacking on his siyam, but at the same time he does not care. You know, Fudayl ibn Iyad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great tabi'i, said, وَمِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْمَصَائِبِ عَلَى الرَّجُلِ. From the greatest of calamities that can befall a man, أَنْ يَعْلَمَ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ تَخْصِيرًا, that he sees himself falling short, وَلَا يُبَالِي وَلَا يَحْزُنُ عَلَيْهِ, while at the same time he doesn't care and he doesn't have any sadness about it. He doesn't feel sorry. He shows no grief and no sorrow, no sadness. He knows he's clearly doing wrong. And at the same time, he doesn't care. This person is more in need of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Alayhi kadhalik. The Messenger used to ask Allah Azza wa Jal 70 times, وَإِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ 70 مَرَّةٍ. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me 70 times a day, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Where do me and you stand? People who are just living in this mujtama', this society, everywhere you look, you find that the society is sexualizing the women. It's near impossible sometimes in certain cases to lower our gaze. Sometimes we take more than one look. Are we not in need in these kind of situations to ask Allah for forgiveness? Are we going to wait till our hearts have become so black? So black, my brothers and sisters. We probably don't know. Our hearts could now be so black. Doesn't recognize it. He sees an avenue of performing or engaging in evil, he jumps straight into it. You know why? Because the hearts have become so black. It should be something, my brothers and sisters, that is moist on our tongues. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Is it difficult, my brothers and sisters, we're driving or I'm walking from place to place, to keep my tongue moist of saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah? An act that is really beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the benefits of astaghfirullah, my brothers and sisters, is so many. Maybe we'll do that in another lecture, another time, of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down upon you provision. It's a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing you with kids. وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. He'll give you children. He'll give you wealth. You'll find money. Rivers are going to be thrown your way just for istaghfirullah. But the point of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, we are in more need to be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istighfar more than anyone else, because we are struggling big time. Look what Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, and I think this is really, really profound. He says, my brothers and sisters, with regards to the dua that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Aisha, what is the dua that we read on Laylatul Qadr? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Aisha, she came to him and she said, Ya Rasul, أرأيت إن علمت أي ليلة ليلة القدر ما أقول فيها؟ قال قولي اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. He taught this dua. Say, O Allah, you pardon and you love to pardon, so pardon me. Look what he says. And the benefit, and this is a latifa, jameela jiddan, very, very beautiful. He says, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, وَإِنَّمَا أَمَرَ بِسُؤَالِ الْعَفْوِ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ بَعْدَ الْإِجْتِهَادِ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا وَفِي لَيَالِ الْعَشْرِ. Here you find that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only told her to say this dua on Laylatul Qadr, and also after striving so hard in the last 10 days. لِأَنَّ الْعَارِفِينَ, the smart one, the intelligent one, يَجْتَهِدُونَ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ, they strive hard with regards to good deeds. ثُمَّ لَا يَرَوْنَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا حَالًا وَلَا مَقَالًا. Then they don't see themselves having accomplished any greatness in action and likewise in speech. فَيَرْجِعُونَ إِلَى سُؤَالِ الْعَفْوِ كَحَالِ الْمُذْنِبِ الْمُخَسِّرِ. Then they go back to asking Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness like a person who has committed a sin. He's telling us that the smart one, he rushes back to Allah and breaks down in front and asks Allah Azza for forgiveness like the person who has committed a sin after he's done a good deed. When a person commits a sin, my brothers and sisters, the one who's really a true believer, what does he do? He begs Allah Azza wa Jalla, he starts crying, right? He says, the way of the believer should be, when he has done such a great deed, he goes and begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keeping him firm. And these are the way of the people of the elite, because we're trying to be like them, right? Our standards, when we look at role models, who are we looking at, my brothers and sisters? The people of the past, the tabi'een, the sahaba, the tabi'u tabi'een, are the people who should be our role models. Today, who's our role model? We're all trying to be like Ronaldo, right? Trying to be like Messi. We might even go as far as cutting our hairs like him. Wallahi, the one who says we don't have role models, قَدْ كَذَبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, this person has truly lied. These were people, my brothers and sisters, they lived for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Day and night, they just wanted Allah Azza wa Jal. Their lives revolved around what? Pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else comes secondary. That now brings me to a point, my brothers and sisters, is to speak about how the people of the past used to see themselves. So we can maybe get rid of this delusion. And the least he could do is give us the inspiration to try and be like them. Because you know, my brothers and sisters, when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between two things. Between hope and also fear. If a person just keeps hoping, he becomes a musawwif. Somebody who keeps delaying the tawbah till there might come a time where Malak al-Maut, the angel of death, arrives and takes his soul, rips it out of his body. And then it's too late. And if a person just keeps fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to an extent where he feels like there is no hope for him remaining, what does that do to a person? He totally loses hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He feels like he has been destructed. Khalas, it's the end of him. There's no point in him doing anything. But no matter how much a person has sinned, you feel like you failed in the month of Ramadan. Or you went back to your filthy habits on the day of Eid. Or you ended up getting back into these habits after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Oh you, the believer, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. No matter how many women you've slept with, how much zina you've done, how much fraud, how much riba you have committed, how many people you've stabbed, what problem, even the shirk that you got involved in. You've committed shirk, this is the greatest sin. How many filthy stuff that you've been watching at night under your blanket? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive you. Wallahu yuridu an yatuba alaykum. Allah tells us He wants to forgive you. That's something that Allah Azza wa Jalla really, really loves. وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ شَهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. But those who follow their desires, they want you to go far, far away. So the point of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between two things. Hope and likewise fear. I've heard some of the mashayikh bring an example. One should be like the child who hears the ice cream van going past. When a child is at home and he hears the ice cream van going past, this child is in between two things, hope and fear. He's between two things, hope and fear. He has the hope that his mother is going to give him what? Some money, right? To go and buy the ice cream. You, does mom give you money every day to buy ice cream? Not really, right? Do you get money every single day to go to the chicken shop? To buy £1, 3 wings and chicken and chips? Do you get every day? But when you do go to her and you ask, you want what? You really, really want it. You have the hope that she's going to give you something. While at the same time, this child, he has that fear that the ice cream van is going to get away. Because he only stays for a few minutes and then gets off, right? Or like the person who's late for his plane. And he's running late, a bit like me. Every time I travel, I'm like the last person to go in the... And I have that hope and that fear that the checkout is not going to close and the plane isn't going to leave. He's in between these two things. Now look at his companions. Famous companion who narrated the hadith, Ad-Din al-Nasiha. Ad-Din al-Nasiha. The religion is advice. He one time read, وَقَرَأَ تَمِيمُ الدَّارِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لَيْلَةً سُورَةِ الْجَاثِيَةِ. He read the surah, Suratul Jathiyah. فَلَمَّا أَتَى عَلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَىٰ. When he reached the point in this surah, this chapter, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرِحُ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Are we going to make those who have accumulated sins like those who commit good deeds? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this. Are we going to make the person who accumulates sins like the person who does good deeds? This is the great companion. The great companion, my brothers and sisters. The best of those to walk on the face of this earth. جَعَلَ يُرَدِّدُهَا. He kept on repeating this verse. وَيَبْكِي حَتَّى أَصْبَحَ. And he cried till the morning. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, he's fearing that it could be him. Having accumulated sins. And because of that, he's not going to be from the same category of those who perform the great acts. The fear that he had. Look at Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I'm sure he doesn't need an introduction. وَبَكَى أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ فِي مَرَضِهِ فَقِيلَ مَا يُبْكِيكَ. In the sickness that led to his death, he cried. So he was said to him, why is it that you're crying? قَالَ أَمَا إِنِّي لَا أَبْكِي عَلَى دُنْيَاكُمْ هَذِهِ. He said, I do not cry about this dunya that you have here. وَلَكِنِّي أَبْكِي عَلَى بُعْدِ سَفَرِي. But I cry due to me having such a long journey in front of me. وَقِلَّةِ زَادِي. And also me having only prepared for it with something very small. When a person he travels, he takes with him food and drink and his sleeping bag, also the clothes that he's going to wear, right? His amti'ah, his luggage, he's going to take it with him. And he is saying that my luggage to the Akhirah is very, very small. وَأَنِّي أَمْسَيْتُ فِي صُعُودٍ وَمَهْبَطَةٍ عَلَى جَنَّةٍ وَنَارٍ وَلَا أَدْرِي إِلَىٰ أَيِّهِمَا يُؤْخَذُ بِي. And then when I am brought on Yawm al-Qiyamah, I am placed in front of the Jannah and the Nar, and I don't know where I'm being taken. Abu Hurairah. Top of the charts when it comes to the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody knew more hadith than him. Memorized that which many didn't memorize. And this is how he is. With all that goodness they were doing, this is the kind of attitude they have. وَغُشِيَ عَلَيْهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. He passed out 3 times. You know why he passed out, my brothers and sisters? وهو يحدث بحديث الثلاثة الذين هم أول من تسحر بمنار يوم القيامة. He passed out 3 times when he was narrating the hadith of the 3 that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told us about, who are going to be used to ignite the fire. Who are these 3? One of them was the person who learnt knowledge or learned the Qur'an in order to be called a qari' or a alim. He was terrified that he could be from them. That he passed out when he was reading or narrating the hadith. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, my brothers and sisters, he used to say, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَأَنَّهُ قَاعِدٌ تَحْتَ الْجَبَلِ يَخَافُ أَنْ يَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ. The believer, he sees his sins as if though he's sitting under a mountain and he fears this mountain is going to drop on his head. That's how big he sees the sins that he commits. وَإِنَّ الْفَاجِرَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَأَنَّهُ ذُبَابٌ وَقَعَ عَلَىٰ أَنْفِي فَقَالَ بِهِ هَكَذَا. As for the wicked, evil, transgressing individual, he sees his sins as if it is like a fly that came onto his nose and then he done this to it. Normally you don't give it any concern, right? It comes, you just do that and you get on with your life. Do we lose sleep over a fly coming onto our noses? Do we even think about it? A fly now that dropped onto my nose, I move away from it and khalas, I get on with my life, right? Do I think about it at night? Oh, this fly came onto my nose and subhanallah. La wallahi, I don't. That's how the evil individual, he sees the sins that he commits. But they were terrified. The sins that he's committing, he feels like as if something is dropping on his head. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah, my brothers and sisters, used to say, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْمَلُونَ أَعْمَالًا هي أدق في أعينكم من الشعر. وَإِن كُنَّا نَعُدُّهَا مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ أو مِنَ الْمُوبِقَاتِ فِي عَهْدِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, you do actions which you see to be more lighter or more thinner than the hair. And we used to see it to be as if we committed a major destructive sin. Imagine he was here today with us. All these sins and minor things that we've seen to take very, very lightly. What he would say. I'm going to conclude inshallah ta'ala with three more narrations. Jubair ibn Nufayr qala, dakhaltu ala Abi Darda. He entered upon Abi Darda, the great companion. دخلت على أبي الدرداء منزله بحمص فإذا هو قائم يصلي في مسجده فلما جلس يتشهد جعل يتعوذ بالله من النفاق. He said, I entered upon Abu Darda in his home and then I found him praying at night in the masjid. فلما جلس يتشهد, when he sat down and he was in the tashahud position, he started seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what? From al-nifaq, from hypocrisy. This is Abu Darda. فَلَمَّا انْصَرَفَ قُلْتُ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا أَبَا دَرْدَى. When he left his prayer, he said to him, may Allah forgive you, O Abu Darda. مَا أَنْتَ وَالنِّفَاقُ. Why is it that you're so concerned about the issue of hypocrisy? قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ ثَلَاثًا. من يأمن البلاء من يأمن البلاء والله إن الرجل ليفتتن في ساعة فينقلب عن دينه. When that was said to him, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I seek my forgiveness from you, and he done it three times. And then he says, who is free from the trial and the tribulations? And he repeated this again. And then he said, إن الرجل ليفتتن في ساعة فينقلب عن دينه. A man, he might be trialed in his religion within the space of an hour. And because of that, he completely leaves his religion. Or he completely turns into something else with regards to his religion. Umar ibn al-Khattab, my brothers and sisters. Umar ibn al-Khattab, who used to be scared of him? Huh? Shaytan. Shaytan was terrified of Umar. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ma salaka shaytanun fajjan salikan illa salaka fajjan ghayr fajjik. Never does the shaytan take a path except that when he sees you, he takes another road, takes the back door. That's how he was terrified of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala, marra bi Umar ibn al-Khattab wa ana jalisun fil masjid fa qala li ya Hudhayfa inna fulanan qad mata fashhad. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Umar ibn al-Khattab walked past me while I was sitting in the masjid. And he said to me, oh Hudhayfa, so and so has passed away. Tell us about him. Fashhad, give your testimony with regards to him. Because Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known for what? Kana sahibu sirri nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the man who knew the secrets of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He disclosed to him who the munafiqun were. He disclosed to him who the munafiqs were, my brothers and sisters. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu knew. So this is after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. ثُمَّ مَضَى حَتَّى إِذَا كَادَ يَخْرُجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ إِلْتَفَتَ إِلَيَّ فَرَآنِي وَأَنَا جَالِسَ فَعَرَفَ فَرَجَعَ إِلَيَّ. Just as Umar al-Khattab was about to leave, he stopped and he turned back and he looked towards Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know what I said to him, my brothers and sisters? أَنْشُدُكَ بِاللَّهِ. I ask you by Allah. أَمِنَ الْقَوْمِ أَنَا. Am I from those who the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam counted amongst the hypocrites? قَالَ قُلْتُ اللَّهُمَ لَا. No, he wasn't. You wasn't from them. وَلَنْ أُبَرِّي أَحَدًا بَعْدَكَ. And I won't free anybody from this assumption after you. Meaning that he's not going to tell anybody else whether he was from them or not after this very moment. Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu ta'ala anhu, my brothers and sisters, kana idha dakhal al-firasha yataqallabu ala firashih. Shaddad ibn Aws, another great companion, when he used to get on his bed, he would be flipping from side to side. You know, sometimes when you can't sleep, you've got so much on your mind, you're bothered, you can't sleep, right? Maybe your wife done something, maybe you've got so much debt, you're thinking about how I can pay back all this debt. Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu ta'ala is going from side to side, flipping from side to side. لَا يَأْتِيهِ النَّوْمِ. He wasn't able to sleep. فَيَقُولُ, and he says, اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّ النَّارَ قَدْ أَذْهَبَتْ مِنِّيَ النَّوْمِ. Oh Allah, the fire has caused me to lose sleep. فَيَقُومُ فَيُصَلِّي حَتَّى يُصْبِحْ. He would stand up and he would pray till the morning. Because of him having on the back of his mind the fire that he might be touched with. My brothers and sisters, you know the fire that we have in this dunya? Sometimes we're in the kitchen, or sometimes we're maybe ironing our clothes and we get burnt. It's an unbearable pain. We use Vaseline, we use toothpaste, whatever, in order to cover that burnt part of the hand or that burnt part of the body. And it takes weeks. It takes weeks, my brothers and sisters, for sometimes, you know, to get cured or to get back to how it was previously. This is the nar, my brothers and sisters, of this dunya. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, "An-naru allati tuqidun juz'un min 70 juz'an min nari jahannam." The fire that you kindle with in this dunya is 1/70th of the fire that you're going to experience in the akhirah. 1/70th. When you do something wrong, by the way, I'm not telling the kids, I don't want the social services at my house or messaging me after this lecture. I'm not telling the kids to do it, but I've heard mashayikh in the past say, every time you commit a sin, go to the cooker and touch the fire. See how you feel. Don't try this at home, as they say. Don't try this at home. It's unbearable. We can't bear the pain, my brothers and sisters. Why would we be so lax in this dunya when it's ayyam? There are days that are counted. And then there's a possibility of us being touched with that fire in the akhirah. How many people, my brothers and sisters, have passed away? Just yesterday, I was reading BBC News. I try to sometimes keep up to date with what's going on in the world, so I'm not backwards, as they say, right? And then there was a, I can't remember if it was BBC or another news article, this famous rapper, I think he was like 20 years old, who passed away. A lot of the congregation today, they're around that age. And people are writing things like on Twitter, "You don't deserve to die. You're too young to die." And he was drunk. Yani, do we have a choice of when to die and when not to die, whether we deserve it or not? But the point of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, this dunya is ayyam, our days. And we should be really, really at all times have on the back of our minds, what have we prepared for that day? We claim to be people who follow hadith, follow sunnah. How much are we actually implementing of the people of the hadith, like the companions? People of the sunnah, we are all our formers that we apply these narrations and try to be like these people if we really, really want to be the true people of hadith, the true people of the sunnah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we heard. So who can tell me very, very quickly the signs of an accepted action? Because this was one of the main points of what we're going through, right? He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for repentance. He does istighfar. The other point, he shows his truthfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he wants his actions to be accepted. He makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his actions to be accepted. third point, he doesn't see what he has accomplished to be anything big. He looks down on it and does more and more and more. Follows one good action with another. This is how the true believer is. Because my brothers and sisters, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, he said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لَا يَسْكُنُ رَوْعُ. He says the believer, his fear doesn't settle. حَتَّى يَتْرُكَ جِسْرَ جَهَنَّمْ وَرَعُهُ. Until he leaves the bridge that is on top of the Jahannam behind him. One should be on their toes. You know when you play football? You play football, what do they say to you? Stay on your toes, right? So you can keep warm. Huh? Am I right? Training, I tell you, stay on your toes, right? So you can, you know, keep the adrenaline running. And when the ball comes, you're on your toes and you end up taking a good touch. As for the guy who's dragging his feet, he's not going to have a good touch when the ball comes, right? That's how we should be. Staying on our toes, ready to jump into the next action. جزاكم الله خيرا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها أو الله gift our hearts with the taqwa وزكها أنت خير من زكاها and purify our souls for indeed you are the best of those who purify أنت وليها ومولاها for indeed you are its protector and you're its guardian. You know my brothers and sisters, let's take this dua as well. It's one of the du'as that Shaykh Abdul Razak al-Badr, you will find that he either starts his lessons with or he ends his lessons with. We're suffering from hearts that are sick. Wallahi, just living in this country, it makes our hearts sick. And a lot of the people, they sometimes ask this question, how can I rid myself from sins and evil, addictions of things and filth that we watch? One way to actually do that is by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts. And once our hearts become purified, what becomes purified and what becomes good as well is the actions. There's a piece of flesh the Messenger told us, إِذَا فَسَدَ فَسَدَ الْجِسْدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا صَلَحَ صَلَحَ الْجِسْدُ كُلُّهُ. If that becomes corrupt, everything else becomes corrupt. If that becomes rectified, everything else becomes rectified. And this is the heart. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.
Jazakum Allah khairan. May Allah reward you for some beautiful reminders. And obviously there's some good benefits in there for us. And the powerful messages, brothers, you have to make a lot of dua continuously throughout the day and night, inshallah. If there's any questions from either brothers or sisters relevant to this topic or anything else that you have on your mind, inshallah, our brother has a few minutes. So any questions?
Where's Ahmed Alam? MashaAllah, he's always messaging me with questions.